I really had intended until yesterday to preach in John again, so I'm not going to do that. You'll see why in just a minute. Try to do the best I can to follow the Spirit. I was really intended to do that. I will be in there next week probably, because I'm working through John. But I got a subject on my mind that I'm going to give it a title this morning. I'm going to call it Making It Real. Making It Real. And what really impelled me to do this was the experience I had down last week in Fort Worth when I helped preach Sister Theda Lawrence's funeral. And I got, in God's providence, I got to go there a day early. Judy dropped me off. She had to come back to Memphis, but I got to spend a whole day with Billy Lawrence, my old friend who had lost his wife. They'd been married almost 60 years. And Donnie Hobbywalks also was there. He's a fine young preacher from down, well, I say young, younger than I am. He's down in Mexico. We got one pretty bad church in Mexico that we'll lay in prayer with these days, Lord willing. But anyway, Brother Donnie was there also. He's an old friend of Brother Billy. So Brother Billy and Brother Donnie and I spent the day together. Now, Billy Lawrence has been preaching a long time, probably longer than I have. I've been ordained 47 years. I don't know how long I've been preaching, maybe 50 years. But anyway, Brother Billy's been preaching that long, at least maybe longer. And so he knows what he's talking about, and he knows as much about the Bible, maybe more than I do. But your wife has passed on. So we're sitting there in his house. He said, okay, Brother Zach, okay, Brother Donnie, you tell me what happened when my wife died. You tell me what she's doing right now. And so I talked to him on the phone this morning, asked him, say, how you doing? He said, well, I'm rejoicing and crying at the same time. And I told him what I'm going to preach about. And he said, you know, a Bible handbook is not good enough when you're facing death. So the point I'm making is we all know the Bible. But how real is it to you? And I'll tell you in a few minutes, I think I will, if I have time, what I told Brother Billy and what I said in the funeral about what happened when Sister Theda died, and also what she's doing right now, because the Bible gives us some insight to that. It's very touching to see him interact with his wife, Bonnie, and he told me this morning, he just cried and said, you know, I'm okay. He said, for a while there, I just couldn't stand about her, thinking about her being that concrete vault by herself. He said, of course, he knows he's not there. And of course, God gave him peace. But he thought that, and you may think the same thing. Your mate leaves. It's touching to me. Well, he loved her body. He touched her. She's cold. He said, honey, you're cold now. I said, next time I see you, be warm. The last thing he said to her was, you said, he said, I'll see you in the morning, which you will. But I want to talk about making it real. You're going to have to make it real. And, you know, I had to make it real. And you kids with me also. You know, you're going to die one of these days. And your mom and dad are going to die one of these days. And we hugged and wife to get our mates ready for our death. Because I told Judy, we need to really get ready for me dying and you dying one. And that's not being mourned at all. And we don't need to put things like this off. We're going to lose church members. Casey's already lost his wife. He's sitting over there. He's following every word I'm saying this morning. And so, is it really real? The things that are in the Bible? Making it real. We all believe it intellectually, I'm sure. But how real really is it to us? And God got ways of making it real to us. Which I hope I help you this morning a little bit on some of these things. When I really had to make it real, kid, boy and girl, listen. So you got a good mom and daddy, and I did too. But I lost my mama when I was 19 years old. And so I had to really decide what I believed. I believed the Bible, but I tell you, it really had to get real to me because their mama was in that coffin. And, so is this resurrection stuff really real? And God convinced me in my heart it was real. So I know what the Word of God says. And really, in the cemetery, the day we buried her was really a beautiful day. My brother wasn't there for some reason. He had been at the funeral, but my three sisters were there. And so we were sitting there, and they shoveled dirt in on Mama. In a beautiful afternoon, all of a sudden I said, girls, this is going to be a beautiful place one of these days. You know, we talk about Halloween time. People make all these ghosts and goblins and make a graveyard look like a dreadful place. But the graves of the saints are going to be a beautiful place someday. You know that? It's going to be amazing to see a little grave pop open and those bodies ride out of there. And Brother Benny's kind of glad he's going to be buried on top of his wife in the Veterans Cemetery so we come out of there together. So anyway, is it really real? And so Brother Benny said he'd write about that. So let's talk about it a little bit this morning. Let me give you a few scriptures. I don't know how I'll do. It won't be a fancy sermon. It doesn't intend to be a fancy sermon. I hope it'll be a Holy Spirit sermon. But look at Philippians 1:21. It's an interesting verse. And so I want you to think about this this morning. I want you all to think about this. We get so busy sometimes. We have the Bible in our mind, but sometimes not in our heart. It's just not real to us. And the devil doesn't want it to be real to us. Isn't it amazing? The real world is kind of ephemeral. And the world that seems to be thought is not the real world. Isn't that amazing? See, a lot of people think that this right here is real. They think that Bill Gates' fortune is real. They think that the Rock of Gibraltar is real. That's not really real. It's not really. It's going to burn up one of these days. And what's going to remain is these truths right here. Like Brother Holder used to preach, my pastor, these truths will stand the world on fire. And when a man facing death, he may have all the money in the world. You know, Steve Jobs, a rich man, he had a lot of money, but he's dead now. I don't know how well he faced death. I hope he's okay. I don't know how he was. When we come down to ultimate reality of either ourselves dying or, you know, I may get cancer tomorrow. I may find out I got cancer. Like the doctor, I dread that. Boy, you got cancer, son. Or somebody may have a wreck and get killed. There are all kinds of things that happen. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but life is real. And we will need to know that God is real. So let's look over at Philippians 1:21. Now, I want to make just a few expressions. I'll be scattering around a little bit, but this is all, in my mind, is real. Let me say one thing about my daddy, too. See, my daddy died in 1965, kids. I'm probably a kid right now, because you'll probably lose your mom dead someday. And I was 24 years old then. And here's the experience I had with daddy. And I think Brother Billy had the same thing with Philly, evidently. But I dreaded seeing my dad's body in the coffin. I really dreaded it. I was in the hospital when he died, but then they covered him up pretty quick. And so when I went down to the funeral home, I said, this is going to be a bad scene. But I walked up to the coffin. It's almost like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Not out loud, but just as good as out loud. I just smiled and said, that's not daddy, that's daddy's body. Daddy's going to be with Jesus Christ. I'm going to see him one of these days. And I will, even that body someday. And the Lord spoke to me. That's the truth. The Bible teaches that. And I believe that. But I had to make up my mind that it's real. Because see, a lot of people don't think these things are real. But I want to give you some encouragement. If you're born again, the truth of the Bible has been written in your heart. So it may get dim every now and then, but it's in there. And God got a way of bringing it out. And you know, one reason that God lets us go through trials, sometimes we don't know how to really trust God as we go through a trial. You know, we say, well, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It's the truth. But sometimes we got to prove that by going through a hard time and God proving himself real. And the more we experience it we have like that, the better off we are. That's why old Christians, I like to be around old Christians who've gone through a lot because they can tell by experience, yeah, he'll be there for you. He'll be there for you. I've talked to many widows and widowers. Yeah, he was there. It's rough, all right, but he was there. Talk about people who lost children, people who have physical disabilities, and he's real. It's tough. Life is tough, but he's there. Isn't that good? And let me just tell you this. You know, you can trust God. Now, think about this. Think about a soldier going through boot camp. They got to really train him because he's going to go through some terrible times. He won't have time to really think when he's in combat. Kind of like an athlete, when you know, a basketball player is not really thinking out there. They're just reacting because they practice for hours and hours and they just passing and all that jumping and stuff like that. That's their body is kind of kicking in with the training. And that's the way soldiers are. They have live fire drills. And can you imagine a soldier maybe that they say, well, look, we're going to train you for gas warfare. There's going to be some gas warfare, so you put this gas mask on. Now, there's not a real test. You get the gas mask on and you're hoping that'll really work. So you put that thing on like they tell you to, and then you're out on combat. And the gas attack does come, you put the thing on. Hey, sir, this thing really does work. It really does work. All that stuff they're training, that's what it's going to be. I promise you, you go through training now by reading God's Word all the time. When you come to church, you go through training. Sometimes not all that's fun. Sometimes you get kind of bored, probably shouldn't, but we just do it. We're such sinners. So you keep reading God's Word. You keep memorizing God's Word. You keep trying to do the best you can to live God's Word. And when the time comes, you're going to react the right way. Because you've got that godly training. And my friends, we can have, say, like a soldier, say, look, brother, the drill sergeant might say, trust your weapons. Trust your equipment. We tested this equipment. We designed this equipment. Just trust us. You don't know all about this. You're going through some terrible times. Trust your equipment. I'm going to tell you, trust your equipment. Trust your equipment. You haven't gone through all the trials yet, but when you do go through the trials, the equipment's going to work. It's going to work. God really did promise us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes it may seem like he's done that, so he'll turn his smiling face away from us temporarily sometime just to test our faith, but he's going to be there. So I'm saying make it real. Let's go to my text, and then we'll go to several other texts. Keep praying for me. I don't know how long I'll preach. I'm not interested in that. I just want to, hopefully, I believe God put a message on my heart. Philippians 1:21. Very short verse, very powerful verse. Every word important. Paul said this, for to me, that's very important. It's personal. I love my wife. We serve God together. But I cannot answer it for her. Not really. Her faith is not my faith. I've got faith that God gave me. She got faith that God gave her. We do worship God together. We're very close. But Paul said, for to me. You got to say that too. You love the church members. We get support from each other. But when it comes right down to it, it's you and God. You know that? When you come down to my deathbed, I hope you're all around me singing and praying. But really, I'm going to be by myself, except for God when it comes down to it. It's going to be it won't be a lonesome time, but it will be that's going to be me and God. And a lot of times in life, it'll all just be me and God. It'll all be me and God. That's one reason, my brethren. We need to meditate more. We need to spend more time with God by himself. We live in a too busy age. I believe that one reason sometimes God lets things happen to us that isolate us, maybe put us on a bed for a while. He said, listen, you need to spend some personal one-on-one time with me. We need to have some one-on-one time with God. And God, we need to do that. But Paul said, for to me, get this down, for to me, to live is Christ. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Paul said, that's my main part of my life. I've got a lot of things I do too. He's a very cosmopolitan, educated man. Not a dull man at all. He'd be a genius to be around him. It'd be fascinating to hear him talk. A multilingualist, all kinds of things. But he said, for to me, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. And I really believe that if Paul hadn't have done that first part, that last part would have been very powerful. So we're going to die someday. So for to me, let's work on that, shall we? Let's all work on that. For to me, let's work on that this week. Every one of us. Husband and wife helping each other. Daddies and mamas helping their families, but us also having one-on-one time with God Almighty. And I'll just say this, brethren, God's got a way of getting your attention. You know the big joke about the 2x4, you hit the mule across the 2x4 to get his attention. God knows how to do that. Not threatening you, just preach the truth. And sometimes when we get so busy, we don't have one-on-one time, he has ways of getting our attention. But for to me, I want to work on that in my life. And see, Paul's an old man, man. He's in the last part of his ministry, but he still is striving to do better. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So making it personal, making it real. Let's go down to the book of Job. I'm just going to go to several scriptures. This will be just kind of gleaning through the Bible. I pray about this and God seemed like he's talking to me. So let's go to Job for a minute. We know the tremendous experience that Job had. Job did a lot of talking to God, a lot of dialoguing. Some of it good, some of it bad. He was not a perfect man at all. Even though the Lord loved him very much and spoke highly of Job. And Job didn't know what was going on. And so there may be times you don't know what's going on. You know, Job was just bewildered. And you may be bewildered sometimes. I don't know why Cody had to have it wrecked yesterday. You know, he's going to church, good old boy, a precious brother, should have been back at the meeting yesterday morning, but couldn't come. And, there's a lot of things happen to us in life. We just don't understand what's going on. And Job, can you imagine what he went through? We've never gone through what Job went through. You know the story of Job. He just had lost everything. He was a very prominent man. He lost his reputation. He was just a derision of people. And some people thought he had sinned secretly. That's why he was going through the trouble. They're misjudging him, which was not true. He was not being punished for something he had done. God was just testing him. His own wife should have been his best friend. She turned against him. He said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? All his kids are gone. It'd be a terrible thing to lose a child. But here, all his children are gone. I love my health and you do too. It's good to be pain-free and be able to, here he is not pain-free anymore. He's disfigured and he's in this tremendous pain. And he'd been a man who had wealth and he lost everything. He's just totally poverty-stricken. So he talked to God through these 40-some odd chapters. Just talked and he's arguing with God sometimes and sometimes submitting to God. And there are high points, there are low points, just like in our lives. Isn't that the way our lives are? There's some mountains and some valleys. Sometimes he's so high sometimes he saw no man redeemer liveth. And one time he said, though he slay me, yet I trusted him. Then in another book he said, I cursed the day I died, that I was born. And it's amazing. That's us, folks. But here's what happened at the end of his life. Look at this. See, he had heard God a lot. He had heard God a lot. I love this because it fits in with our subject by making things real. He said over in chapter 42, verse 5, and may this be our case. May this be our case. In chapter 42, verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee. My prayer is God will reveal more and more of himself to us. And I believe he will. So I've heard of you, God. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, now mine eyes see thee. Would that be good? We'll be praying, Lord, let me see you more. Let me see you more. Through your word. It won't be some big mystical experience. God could work that way. But if he even does work in a mystical experience, it will never contradict what's in the word without God. That's how you can test a mystical experience. Some people throw out all mystical experiences. And I think that's a mistake. I think a lot of them should be thrown out because they're not biblical. But we can't put God in a box. Now, I'm not going to tell you how God may bless you, but if he does bless you with some mystical experience, the experience you have, if it's truly of God, will not contradict God's words. That's how we can test that. But God's an amazing God, isn't he? So, isn't that encouraging? I've heard of thee, the hearing of the ear, now my eye saith thee. All right, now let's go to another scripture. Look over in Psalm 34. This is a great psalm. Just get glean some verses here that fit together. Psalm 34, great psalm. Great psalm. And there's an exhortation here. Over in verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. What a good invitation. Sometimes we're afraid to taste it. We're afraid to risk God. Come just taste and see that God is good. You know, something has some food up here. It looks good. But to taste is something totally different. So it's good to have, maybe have the Word of God, but when I can taste the Word of God in experiences, and it just makes it more meaningful, doesn't it? Oh, taste and see that God is good. Okay, another one, this amazing scripture over in the book of Mark. This is really, I don't fully understand it, but I understand a little bit about it. So let's go to the book of Mark in chapter 8. Book of Mark, chapter 8. Very, very interesting experience. Had a great, obvious scripture lesson. Don't know all the ins and outs about it, but some of it is pretty obvious. I thought this was a lot for my own life. This is Mark, chapter 8. And let's start out at verse 22. Mark, chapter 8, beginning of verse 22. And he comes to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. He spit on his eyes, he had put his hands upon him. He asked him if he saw aught. Do you see anything? Look what this man said. He wasn't totally blind after this. He could see something. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. He could see something, but it wasn't real plain. After that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored. Saw every man clearly. Isn't that good? And my friend, I don't know where I'm at really. I know I see some things. I know I believe in God. I believe all the Lord. But I would like to see things even more clearly, wouldn't you? So let's pray that. Lord, I can see, but it looks like sometimes it's so dim to me. I see men as trees walking. Father, would you light my eyes further? Do the second work on me that I may see all things clearly. Sometimes people see all things clearly. It's been amazing the testimonies some people have given. You know, some of the martyrs have been amazing. You'd have to be a really see things clearly to be a martyr, wouldn't you? And there's some martyrs in the world today, a lot of martyrs in the world today, the Middle East especially. But they see things clearly. It's in the Bible for us. Let's beg God. What am I saying this morning? Don't be complacent. Don't settle for something that you shouldn't settle for. Make it real. And I'll talk to you in a minute of some ways to do that. One of them is obvious. We've got to spend time with God, folks. It's not, I talked to a brother this week. I really appreciate talking to a young man. And he's right about this. He said, you know, I'd rather just read one chapter of the Bible and really read it and really read it and really get something out of it than just read a lot of fast stuff and don't get anything out of it. Now, there's a place for reading fast. There's a place for reading the whole book. But that's not the only way to read the Bible. One way to read the Bible is just read it to get something out of it. Lord, show me something. And what this young man did is this, and I recommend it to you. He said, I'll read the Bible and I'll look for a thought. When I get that thought that's going to carry me through the day, I just write it down on something and share it with me. And I'm caring, in other words, I'm not just letting it go to one end or the other. That's the way we can do that. Okay, let's look over in Mark chapter 9. And I love this one also. This is all wonderful things. I identify this man. Very much identify this man. You probably do too. He's a born-again man, and he wants the Lord to heal his son. So this is Mark chapter 9, beginning verse 22. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire, this demon, his son here, cast him, and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I love this verse. So there's some emotion in this verse, and there should be some emotion in this verse. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, how about that for emotion? How long had it been since you had those kind of emotions? This father had a real need here. His son needed to be healed. And the Lord said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. He recognized the weakness of his belief. He cried out with tears and he said, and you know what I'm to read, Lord, I believe, and I do believe, and I believe you believe. He said, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. That's what we need to do. That's making things real. The Bible's real to me. The Bible's real to me. Now, there's a great prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, a tremendous prayer. God wants you to know what's going on. God wants, I know that. In fact, I'm going to give you two or three scriptures. Let me go to Hebrews 6, first of all, but I want you to go to Ephesians 1 for a prayer. God wants us, friends, to know a lot of things. We need to live not defeated lives. We don't need defeated lives. God doesn't want us to live defeated lives. I'm not talking about something unrealistic, where I'm always just have a false jollity all the time. But I mean, we need to have some settled assurance of our lives. And so, God wants us to do that. The devil doesn't want you to know this. He wants to dull your mind, dull your understanding. Hang you walking around, hack a lie. That's what the devil wants. That's not what God wants. Before I go to Ephesians 1, I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 6. Look at this. I've never preached on this like I wanted to. Someday I hope I can. I really do. It's so powerful. It's just amazing. I'm going to start in verse 13 here of Hebrews chapter 6. Because God wants it. Well, let me start at verse 10. I'll start at verse 10. It's hard to know where to start here. But God is not unrighteous to begin your work in a labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. In other words, every time you minister to the saints, God is recognizing that, and he's pleased with that. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. He wants to have full assurance of hope. Ye be not slothful, but followers of them, through whom faith and patience inherit the promises. We have a strong faith, and this patience means endurance. For when God made promise to Abraham, how about that? How about God's promise? See, a promise is good, isn't it? In fact, let me put my finger there for a moment and quote you from Titus, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know, we say, I promise you something. We tell our children, I promise you. And we mean it. But it could be we couldn't fulfill that. I promise to take you to the ball game Saturday morning. I may get sick and the game may get canceled. But I promise you something. Pretty strong word. When God promises, there's no doubt it's going to be accomplished. And there's lots of promises in the Bible. But God, not only, well, this is amazing. Verse 13 again. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And he's not only promising, he's swearing. That's really getting serious, isn't it? Your promise ought to be enough. You say, I swear something. That's tightened down a little bit. And God's doing both of them. He doesn't have to. He wants to. But he wants you to have assurance. But he gives us the assurance and we're not taking advantage of it. What does that say about us? I've got the assurance right here in the Bible, a whole Bible full of them. But I'm so busy I don't have time to take advantage of them and cultivate them. That's why we're weak sometimes. When God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself saying, surely, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. But look at these verses. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that's you, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Let's read that. I'm going to keep reading too. I'll read the verse again. God willing, more abundantly, very much, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirming by an oath, a promise and an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And I'll just finish it out. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunners for us entered, even Jesus, and in high priest forever, at the order of Melchizedek. Isn't that something God wants to promise and swear to you, that he's never going to leave us and never forsake us? Now let's go to the Ephesians letter, chapter 1, one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible. Paul prayed this to the Ephesians, brethren. I'll start in verse 15, but I'm really got just a few verses below there. I won't mainly, but this is this. I want to get the whole prayer. Okay, this is Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love of all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, get this, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Making it real. Making it real. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You may know he's got three or four things here, and I won't have time to elaborate on these, but they're powerful things. We can go a few minutes on these. This is something God wants us to know. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. The sure expectation of his calling. God calls us out of darkness to his marvelous light. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, if we can really believe that day, we would be happy, knowing how rich we really are. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We all know that, but how real is it to us? Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. I like that song, When I Can Read My Title Clear. Don't you hope right before you die you can read your title clear? You've got a title, but I hope I can read it clear. When I read my title clear, I will be ready to go on. I'll be ready to bid farewell. So I don't really want to die right this second. I'm not afraid to die. I don't really want to. I believe God got some more things for me to do. But I hope when my time to come, and I hope when your time comes, you'll read your title clear. It'll be plain. See, I can't wait to get on. I know what's waiting for me on the other side. The Bible is in the Scripture. It's what's in the Scripture. Been written in my heart. I can't wait to get out of here. Old Keeper, remember old Colin Cox? Remember him, Keeper? I went to see him in the hospital. He was dying. And there was a great brother. Billy Lawrence took me down there. Old Colin was smiling. I've never seen such a smile. Like he had a light bulb in his head. And he said, I'm going to go see the King, Brother Zach. I'm fixing to see the King. Don't you like that song? That's one of the acapella sang that. I'm going to see the King. I'm going to see the King. Play a few times. I think I'll play this afternoon. I'm going to see the King. I'm over here. I'm going to go see the King. I'm going to see the King on the throne. I'm going to see him face to face. He'll be smiling at me. I'm going to prove it to you. Let me tell you what I'm doing right now. You can help me if you want to. I'm going through the song book and finding all the places where it says that God smiles at us. And I'm going through the Bible and finding all the places where it says God's smiling at us. So I told you this, and I didn't sell you a bill of goods. When you think Jesus Christ, my brother, he'll be smiling at you. You never seen a smile like that. I like to say, I told you about Reuben and Second Man Death, say Reuben and Murphy smiled at each other as they got married. Reuben, he's crying and smiling at the same time. And old Murphy come down there smiling. My brother, that was a good smile, but listen, you're going to see Jesus Christ smile at you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? I got my arms out for you. I'm going to embrace you. I'm smiling at you. Come on home, child. Come on home. Come on home. Isn't that great? Let's read this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, also which is to come. What that means is, my friend, the regenerating power that God gave you, and I've said this lots of times, but let's say it again, it took the same power, you're born again, and it did to get Jesus Christ out of the grave. That's just, I can't hardly believe that, but it's the proof. That's the proof. That's how dead you were in trespasses and sins. That's, you know, that's not amazing. It's depravity, it's depravity. Dead is dead. It's terrible. Got a world full of dead people. But you'd be there too if it weren't for God's grace. You wouldn't be here today. You wouldn't want to be here. You care nothing about the Bible. You care nothing about the hand of God. But my friend, you were dead, and it took the same power it says here in Ephesians 1:9. And God said, I want you to know about that. I want you to know about that. Let me read a song to you, one verse only, and then I'm going to tell you what I hope they've done, and I'm going to quit. But I hope and pray, my brother, you can get this. Making it real. May you make it real. By God's grace, as you sit before him and beg God, Lord, to make it real to me. Let's all put some priority on this, taking time in this busy world to sit before God and give word and beg him, Lord, make it real to me. We'll be losing jobs. Will God take care of us? Is it real? We have people who do that. Have people right now in this shade. We'll be losing our health. Lots of it will. Is God going to be real then? We'll be losing loved ones. This church will not always be like it is today. This assembly will be broken by death. Is it going to be real then? Our government may come crashing down. Is he going to be real? We may be persecuted. Is God real? Is it a handbook? Well, Billy said a handbook won't work when you face this. The Bible handbook won't work, Brother Zach. It's got to be real. When your nearest and dearest to you have gone, does Jesus care? Is it really real? It's really real. And it is real. But the devil don't you think that? He's got all, the devil's got these smoking mirrors. Smoking mirrors. That's all they are. That's all the world's got, smoking mirrors. Just cotton candy, that's all they got. Here's the real deal, right here, the real deal, brother and sister. I hope, well, I don't know more about that. God's got to decide how I die. I hope I go out here shouting. I kind of like to be like old Bill Lorenz. That old rascal, God bless him. He didn't deserve any more than I do. But you know, he died preaching. Down in Texas, South Texas. He was down there preaching, and he was preaching about being born up on winged eagle's wings and said bye-bye and hit the deck and he's gone. That'd be a good way to go, wouldn't it? That's the truth. That's the truth. He didn't deserve that. I got to tell you about Brother Lawrence. This, I shouldn't say this, probably. I tickled me to death. H.D. Fulmer goes to this humor. And Brother Lawrence talked a lot. I said, H.D., I said, you hear about Brother Lawrence dying? He said, well, if he was quiet for 5 minutes, you know he's dead. I might have heard that yesterday. He probably should have said that. Anyway, let me tell you about, let me tell you what I told Brother Lawrence. And you know this. I've done this at funeral. Listen, this is real. Listen to me just for a moment. He said, okay, Brother Zach. Okay, Brother Donnie. You tell me what happened when Theta died. Let's go. Ready? The Apostle Paul said this. To depart, get this now, to depart and be with Christ is far better. That's one thing, isn't it? Isn't that right? Since I ain't a preacher, he's right in his head. To depart and be with Christ, I love you with Christ. He also said in the Corinthian letter, absent from the body, present with the Lord, like you never had been before. We're present with the Lord now, but not like we will be then. Paul said, I'm satisfied, I've got the word right now, 2 Corinthians 5, to be absent from the body, willing, that is, willing to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Is it real? Sure, it's real. What about the people on the cross? Isn't that amazing about God's sovereign grace? God is a sovereign God, brothers and sisters. If you're born again, it's because God loved you before the world began, not anything you've ever done. There are two things right there on that cross. You read the Gospels and compare them. Both of them are cursing Jesus Christ. Both of them are cursing Jesus Christ. Both of them are casting taunt into his teeth. They've missed that lives as thieves and murderers. And something happened to one of those thieves at the last moment. And he recognized who's beside him. How can he recognize him as being the king? There he was on the cross, helpless, his face bloody, the crown thrown on his head. Isn't faith a great thing? It's real. And this man on this cross, look at the one next to him, said, Lord, he called him Lord. The one who died as a condemned criminal. Christ died as a condemned criminal, really a blasphemer. He said, Lord, he didn't say, when he said, how can you say that? When you come to your kingdom, remember me. Grace taught him a bunch, didn't it? I heard a sermon one time on what all the people on the cross did say. It's amazing. Brother, when you get born again, God puts a lot into you. You ought to get it out by God's grace. Let the gospel bring it out that's inside you. He said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And don't you remember what that Lord told him? He said, verily, I say to you, today, you, suffering one on this cross, you who've lived a misfit life, you will be with me in paradise. That's what I told Ben Starks. I didn't lie to him either. My friend, the book of Ecclesiastes says, then shall the spirit go to God who gave it, and the body shall go to the dust from which it came. Then he said, well, Zach, what's she doing now? I don't know exactly what she's doing now. He wanted to make sure she was a worship service. He loved worship service, and Theta did too. And by the way, let me say something. I'll give you this, don't cost you anything extra. It's a funeral, one of the best things I've ever heard in my life. I've wondered for years about this. This is good for another commentary. Caleb, her grandson, said this about her. He said, we've heard about Mary, we've heard about Martha. He said, she was both of them. And I like that. And you women can be the same way. Mary was the one who said it gives us his feet. Martha served, and Theda Lark were both of them. And you sisters are too, a lot of y'all are. Isn't that great? I love that. She was both of them, Mary and Martha. That's where our sisters ought to be. Sitting before the feet of Jesus Christ, also being servants. I love that. Anyway, let's look at Revelation. You know I preach through Revelation. And you know, my friend, we send to the heavens some of Revelation. So let's go to chapter 4, just for a moment. In chapter 4, in Revelation, and we know what happened there. It's amazing. You know, we had the seven churches of Asia. Remember those? They're down here on their earth, the seven churches of Asia. But all of a sudden, the scene changes. The scene changes dramatically. And so what happens is, in chapter 4, verse 1, As of this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. How about that, man? Woo! A door in heaven. I'm leaving this old world. I've got a door in heaven up here. I'm going to see what's going on up here. As this I looked and beheld, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. So then we'll skip on to chapter 5, because I wanted to show him what his wife was doing. I don't know exactly the mechanics of it, but I guarantee you, she's engaged in the most wonderful worship service she's ever been in. I don't know what all we've been doing in glory, but it's going to be a time, a great time. Here's what my idea is. My idea is when we see Jesus Christ, we're going to break forth into praise and we won't ever quit praising Him. And it's not just sitting around like in church all the time. It's going to be a lot better than that. If that's good enough, I mean, church is good. It's amazing what you're going to be doing. The Bible's got a lot to say. It doesn't say everything about that. It's going to be unbelievable. It's everything positive, nothing negative. Everything's super positive. But one of the best things is this. Can you imagine this? You know, you're right now, many of you are good folks about comparatively thinking. But you have a sinful mind. And you'd be embarrassed if your thoughts were right now, if I saw your thoughts. And I'd be embarrassed if you saw my thoughts, all of them. I got some good thoughts and some bad thoughts even since I've been here today. I've had some real bad thoughts since I've been here today. It's that way every day. Can you imagine what it's going to be like, Brother Keeper, serving Almighty God with my sinful nature gone, not having any negative thoughts? You're going to change your whole perspective. You don't know what kind of perspective you're going to have. We don't know how we're trapped sometimes by our sinful mind. The paradigm of my mind, I guess. I'm in bondage. The truth makes me free, but I don't have all the truth. But the more I'm in the Bible, the freer I am to think right. That's why I think David prayed in Psalm 19, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, I think of my Redeemer. But someday, won't have any bad thoughts. Instead of Martha had any more bad thoughts. Can you imagine that? I can't. But anyway, let's look at what she's doing today. We know she's doing this to some extent. And we'll close with this. My friend, it's real. Make it real. Okay, I'm going to read from the verse 1 of chapter 5 and read a few verses of Revelation 1. This is the Bible. Now, the Bible, I already showed you the Bible. The angel said, you come up here at this door now. I want you to see what's up in here. That's what we're looking at. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor on in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. I wept much, because no man was found worthy open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's Jesus Christ, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the 7 seals thereof. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, of the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb that had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which were the 7 spirits of God sent forth into the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. I'd like to preach on that, but I won't. I remember what I thought when I went through this. It's amazing. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayer of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, have redeemed us to God with thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made unto us, our God, kings and priests, which shall reign on the earth. I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb, the slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the beast, worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. So I know that she's in a worship scene. Brothers and sisters, I hadn't told it like it ought to be told. But you make it real. It is real. You make it real by God's wonderful grace. Don't settle for an intellectual knowledge of the Scriptures. Think of the spiritual knowledge of the Scriptures. And God, God makes sure you think you never even thought about. He will do that. I got to say this. Here's the kind of God we serve, man. Listen. I don't care how high you've ever been spiritually, you can get higher. I don't care how strong you've been spiritually, you get stronger. I don't care how joyful you've been in Jesus Christ, you'd be more joyful. Here's what the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us, and him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Hallelujah.